Melbourne AA Steps Weekend 2008. This is Jen talking about Step 3.
Hi, my name is Jen and I'm an alcoholic. So Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. My alcoholic story started when I was probably about 16 years of age. Drinking and making bad decisions ended up in my first car accident. That was at the age of 16. At the age of 19, my drinking took me to places that I could never have imagined. I lived on campus at a college, at university, and it was pretty normal to, you know, I guess, binge drink. And at the age of 19, I was out binge drinking in the city and in a blackout walked out in front of a car and was hit. And this continued on through my 20s. You know, I guess I'm very lucky to be standing here with all my arms and my legs and I guess my brain, it still works, thank goodness. So I guess the drink took me to places that I could never have imagined. I was had fairly senior roles in my work career, and a lot of them involved risk management and occ health and safety, and you know, I was very, very serious about that. I took that stuff really seriously. But in my outside life, I took the most craziest risks you could ever possibly imagine. And to me, I was just totally baffled why I was polarised, really. You know, one side of it, I was very serious about risk, and the other side, I would go out and drink on my own in a bar. You know, I guess taking that chance of perhaps being hit by a car again, drink, just, you know, waking up in places where I didn't know where I was. I don't know how I got there. I didn't know the people I was with. Going home with strange people. All this, you know, alcohol took me into all these places. Anyway, I came to the program when I was 34 years of age. I remember probably about 5 years earlier taking that first drink. I was a binge drinker, and I remember taking that first drink about 5 years earlier where I was drinking on my own consciously. And I remember thinking, I'm not an alcoholic if I do this. And I can't even remember now how I justified that to myself. And although I never was a daily drinker, I certainly was heading that way. And I was drinking an awful lot, so the depression got really, really bad. And at one point, after another hospitalisation and the nurse telling me that she couldn't believe I wasn't dead because of the amount of alcohol in my system, I decided to give up drinking for a year, which I did. And a lot of people around me said, oh, you'll be able to drink again. And I didn't understand or know about alcoholism. I just thought I had a bit of a drinking problem. So the people around me sort of suggested that, you know, maybe a bit of time off. My drinking may, you know, have improved or got better somehow. So eventually I did start drinking again, and it started out pretty slowly, one or two drinks here and there. But, you know, within a month or two, I was back to drinking very heavily again, in copious amounts, dangerous amounts, and, you know, the usual blackouts. So one night I was in my bed, in the safety of my home, in the safety of my bed, reading a book, and I read my favourite author's alcoholic story in a selection of her short stories. And I'd read probably about five of her books beforehand, not knowing that she was an alcoholic. When I read her story, and I thought, she is a really cool person and her story is my story. And then I guess the tears came, and that was my first level of surrendering, of me coming to the realisation and some sort of level of acceptance that I was an alcoholic and I had to do something about it. And I knew from reading her books that you can't do it on your own and you needed support. So I knew that I had to go to AA, even though I didn't really know what happened at AA. I just knew that if you're an alcoholic, that's where you had to go. So didn't tell anyone about it, just took myself off to AA. And so I guess that was on 26th of July 2006. And I arrived at AA, and it's interesting, kind of really didn't know what to expect, and I saw the word God up on the banner, and I thought, oh, not that God thing again, and felt uneasy about that. But, you know, I'd found my salvation. When I came through those doors, and I was I cried for the first 6 months, but, you know, I was welcomed with open arms. I was given a hug on my first night. And I felt like I was at home. I was in the right place. I was sitting around with a bunch of strangers who had my story. So I guess the journey for me from there, and in relation to handing my will and my life over to a God, as I understand him. In hindsight, when I look back on my drinking days, I feel like I had my back turned to God, or my higher power, and I was lucky. I had the opportunity to have spirituality through religion in my life, all through my life. So growing up and through schools and things. So, but in my 20s, you know, I had this wild, crazy behaviour, and I certainly didn't think God would really like it. So it was just easier to turn my back on him. And so in the first month or so, I guess I really, the advice of my sponsor is not to worry so much about the God thing to start with, and perhaps just, you know, make sure I'm identifying with the stories and, you know, and that sort of stuff. So, but I did start on the steps fairly early in my sobriety to maybe my second month, and then, you know, I was ready to have a look at this God thing again. And and so I brought a higher power, or my God of my childhood, back into my life. I really struggled with the surrendering. I would certainly say that I'm not an expert at it. And when I first read it, I thought, okay, I've done that step, I can tick it off and move on with the rest of my life. And I think, you know, I was pretty fuzzy when I came in, so I didn't realise that that's something actually I need to practice every day and in all the different situations in my life. And as time went on, I quickly learnt about all the areas that I needed to start surrendering to God. Otherwise, I just couldn't cope. So within the first... after 4 months being sober, my grandmother died. And for someone that had I had no emotional maturity at all. I didn't know how to handle things. You know, 4 months in, I was able to sit with my grandmother for the week, leading up to her death, and hold her hand and say the rosary with her and support her. If I was drinking, I never would have been able to do that. But I still, at that stage, didn't quite get what the God thing is. You know, I'm from a sporting background, so the way I learn things, I'm very visual, and I like to know what it feels like to do things. And I was thinking, well, I don't know how should I feel when I'm surrendering? What should it feel like? And so one night I called one of my friends she's not in the program, and I was telling her how I was really struggling with this surrendering or handing over my will and my life, and she wasn't very much help. And I read a couple of books, and I still couldn't find it. And I just got up from my couch, and I remember saying, and I live on my own, but I remember talking to God out loud and saying, God, can you just give me the answer? And I thought, oh, stuff it, I'm going to bed. And so I went off to bed, and beside my bed I have the daily reflections. And this is no joke, on that date it had the handing over... a handing over story, which is a woman was really struggling with some of her steps, and And she walked outside. She was in the mountains, and she walked outside and she was looking up at the sky, and she saw an eagle flying, and she saw the eagle giving itself, I guess, to the airflow and the currents of the air, which are totally invisible. And then she realised that that is, I guess, one of the best examples of surrendering and also freedom. So they come hand in hand. And when I read that, I looked at it and I thought, nah, that's not it. But then I was like, come on, Jen, this is, you know, you've been shown the answer. And yeah, so I love that. I love that story. And I love my little bit of doubt as well. There are so many things that I've learnt to surrender, and I'm definitely no expert at it. But in all areas of my life, I've had to practice the surrendering thing. With money, when I came into the program, I just finished working on a massive project that had ended, and so I didn't have any work at that time, so I was sort of in between jobs, and you know, it was really lucky. I got to look after my sister's kids a couple of days a week, and they were just little girls, so that was really beautiful, and I feel really blessed that I was able to take that time to put my sobriety first, and then during my days have the little people, you know, that live in the present moment in my life. Money-wise, somehow I was able to pay my rent and my bills, and I just made it every month, you know. I'd be down to the last cent, but somehow, miraculously, I was looked after. In relation to work, I had applied for jobs which I didn't get, but the jobs I did get were through friends and contacts who wanted to employ me. So, I tell people about the depression because it's not as bad as alcoholism, and you know, when I had one worse than depression, I could tell everyone about depression. So he knew I'd been suffering from depression. I think he felt a bit sorry for me, but he knew that I was a good worker, and so he got me some work. And one of the biggest struggles with that is I've got a lot of education, and I've worked in fairly senior roles, and this ego was coming out all the time, saying I'm so much better than this job. I used to earn double the amount of money, and I knew that that was ego, and I knew that I had to surrender that, or I wouldn't last in that job. I drive everyone crazy. So, and that's been happening for the last year. I was doing that role. It also gave me the opportunity to help a lot of other people, which was really great. So, but I had to work on that ego thing nearly every single day. And, you know, it's finally now, working on that every single day, it's brought me into a totally different, I guess my reality is so different to what it used to be. I don't need to be the best. I don't need to be the most educated. I don't need to be doing the most fancy job, earning the most money. Which is, you know, that's a 360 or 180 turn for me. With my family, surrender. Oh, I'm one of seven children. We're very close in age, and, you know, with all of the issues that come up with family dynamics, and watching other family members struggle a little bit with alcohol, as well, you know, I wanted to get in there and fix them, and, you know, make it all better and tell them what they should be doing, and doing a bit of preaching, and that's, as most of you know, that's probably not the best way to go about it. With the guidance of my sponsor and friends, it, you know, I had to hand that over. I can't control that situation, so that was a handing over. And one of the ways, I'm a very visual person, and one of the ways that I handed the family stuff over was putting it on a silver platter and walking up to my vision of my God for that week, or whatever he looked like. I guess it's a he for me. And handing him the silver platter with all my family issues on it, and, you know, that was the way that I felt like I was giving it away. And sometimes I'd have to do that two or three times, because I'd hand it over and then I'd be sitting and thinking, dwelling, chewing on it, and then it'd be like, no, you have to do that little meditation again and hand it over. So helping other alcoholics, I have to hand it over. My tendency is to hold on to everything so tightly and try and control it, and I can see the outcomes that I want for other people. And you know, I guess it's understanding, and I guess the humbling part of it is understanding that, you know, it's not about me and what I want. So that's been also, with the help of my sponsor, is being reminded that I need to let that go, and let God. So through meditation, that's been a really beautiful way for me to be able to hand over. And again, I do visualizations where, depending on what my God looks like that particular week, my surrender may be lying with my head on God's lap, and just letting go and saying, I don't know all the answers and it's too hard, you know, can you help me? And guaranteed, those might sound a bit strange to people, but guaranteed, when I get up from those meditations, I feel so much better. I just feel, I guess the words for me are relief, letting go, and accepting that I can't actually control the world. Also, another time when I use the handing over my will and my life is when I'm at home by myself. And in my later stages of drinking, I only drank at home because I was such a fall down drunk. I was so accident prone that I couldn't really leave the house. So, and I also, you know, all the shame and the hiding, and I didn't want people to know. So, so I stayed at home, and then I would be in self pity because I was so lonely. And so when I first got sober, that was a real challenge for me, is to conquer that loneliness. And I guess that happens looking, coming to understand the self-pity, self-seeking and selfishness, which is part of my nature, I guess. But I use that surrendering as well. So I, again, imagine or do a visualization that I have someone around me or some sort of a presence around me that's sitting with me if I am sitting, you know, for a long night at home by myself. And I just find so much comfort out of that, and release. So, okay. And how are we going for time? Okay. I guess just to finish on, I'd like to just finish on this. One of the things I love, and the program has taught me, is the Serenity Prayer. And to me, the Serenity Prayer is all about step three. And if I didn't get step three, I couldn't have got through the other, or continue to, you know, I guess, take on the challenges of the rest of the steps. So I guess the Serenity Prayer is absolutely one of my favourites, and it makes sense to me. Every time I think about the things I cannot change, it just, it kind of makes me laugh because I'm such a control freak that at first I was like, yeah, I can make things happen, I can change things, and but at the end of the day, the only thing I can really change is what's inside me, and that will, I guess, then if the way I've experienced is it changes things outside of me as well. So I just end on that Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will be done, not mine. Thanks for asking me to share.
Information about the annual Melbourne AA Steps Weekend is available from www.stepsweekend.aagroup.org.au. Thanks for letting me share.